Merry Christmas, Josh.
Merry Christmas, Daniel. And Merry Christmas to everyone at home. We'd like to thank you guys for listening to our very first episode of Doc Holliday. We had a blast making it.
And if you haven't listened, make sure you go back and listen now. And if you did listen, guess what? Listen it again and again and again.
Listen to it so much that you want to listen. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, guys, today on Lost in Thought, we're going to be talking about Chinese spies and in particular, Christine Fang. So we're going to go all the way back from the Wild Wild West into the modern times in 2011 to 2015.
That's right. It is Christina Fang, the Honey Trap Spy.
Also known as Fang Fang, Fang Fang.
I love that name. Literally, okay, guys, her name is actually Fang Fang. She goes by Christine Fang or Christina Fang. I guess it wouldn't be weird considering what she was into, but nobody really knows how old she was.
Yeah, it's either late 20s or early 30s. It could be one, it could be the other.
And if you look at her to describe her, she was just a beautiful lady.
Yeah, I would say mid to late 20s.
Oh, dude, she was just gorgeous. And that kind of helped out later on in the story.
Yeah, and this takes place mostly in Southern California and some out in the Midwest. Now, it should be explained that the SoCal area and San Francisco and the Silicon Valley are going to be important in this, in that it's an economic hub for the Silicon Valley and all the tech that happens out there. And then also with politics and rising politicians, it seems to be a little bit of a ground zero for guys who are going to start their career and progress it further, you know, in politics.
That's right. It's a breeding ground for politicians.
Yeah, thanks for saving me on that. I didn't know where I was going, man.
Yeah.
We're not very political, so little of this is foreign to us.
Oh, yeah. About as foreign as the Chinese lady that come over here working for some agencies
from China. Guys, you're going to find out later, especially once you see some of these pictures, she must have loved her country because the things she did for it, oh my God.
Dude,
oh.
Ballsy. Whew. Absolutely ballsy.
And sweaty.
Yes. Around what year did she come to the States?
We believe it's going to start in 2011. It's going to take place from 2011 to around June of 2015.
So it was very quick when she came in and did what she did and then escaped just as quick as she came in.
Yeah. Out like a thief in the night, man.
Yeah, there were people that described her that literally she just disappeared one day.
Yeah, they were actually kind of upset and a little worried that she left so suddenly. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so Christine Fang, or Fang Fang, when she came to the States, she initially started college, and she quickly jumped through the ranks at the college, and she joined every political group, every political party she could. That way she can rub elbows, make a name for herself, and she ended up becoming the president of a ton of different things in school.
Yeah, that was at Bay Area University, correct?
It is, and I can't remember. They're in the San Francisco area, which is the hub for politics.
Okay. Now, between 2011 and 2015, it was known that she actually volunteered for Ro Khanna's unsuccessful 2014 House bid. And also, Ro Khanna actually remembers seeing her at several Indian American political gatherings, but really didn't have any much more contact with her.
Right. She was that person at a party to where you see her and you recognize her and you go, hey, I remember her from, you know, the Christmas party. I remember her from, you know, a month ago, from a year ago, but you didn't know her.
Yeah. Now in 2013, she helped with the fundraiser for Tulsi Gabbard.
Ooh, who was that?
Oh man, she was actually I believe a Democratic nominee from Hawaii that received a lot of good press right before the nominations.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
You should be able to look her up and be like, oh, okay, I know her. Now, Gabbard really didn't have any recollection of meeting or talking with her, but she was listed on their Facebook flyer for some fundraising events.
That was something I had come across a lot. So she would be in pictures with people. Uh-huh. She would tag them on Facebook and everything, be at every party that they're at. But this chick, when you go back and you ask these people, hey, do you remember meeting Fang Fang or Christine Fang? And their response is, who is that?
Well, wouldn't you kind of want to deny it as well?
Oh, distance yourself as far as you could.
Now, I kind of look at it as her using social media in a weird way.
Very strange.
She is a spy, right? So in modern times, to not have to directly contact your handlers, you could be on Facebook, You could be at these certain events. You could tag yourself with these people, take pictures, upload it. And then the handlers on the other side of the world are actually just able to get onto Facebook and see what she's doing, who she's with, who she's talking to. They're actually getting a timestamp of how this night is even going through her tags, you know.
That's right. Well, she was working with the MSS.
Now, what is the MSS?
So it's a Chinese organization very similar to the CIA or the MI6.
No way.
Yeah, but the thing is with MSS, where the CIA and the MI6, they're very public. It's very well known. You have the 007 movies with MI6 in it. The CIA is all in the movies and on TV and everything else. But the MSS, totally opposite.
And like what?
In the way that they do not want to be mentioned. They don't want to be known. There is no website.
So they
no
don't want to be media. Mentioned?
No. They don't
okay,
want
let's
to be
mention
about.
Them.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. You're dang right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it's real trippy with MSS. So they started off in the 40s, but it wasn't until like 1983 where the modern day version of it came about. And the modern day version, they're getting caught up in espionage. They have spies everywhere. And it's been estimated hundreds to thousands of them. Yeah, it's been estimated that they have hundreds, if not thousands, of these young girls that they send over to different countries.
Could you imagine that, man? Thousands of them?
Like thousands.
Thousands? So there could be hundreds.
That's
you think
right.
about that. There's only 50 states. So if you take up hundreds and divide them amongst all 50 states, there's lady Chinese spies everywhere.
And that's what they were doing, because she started off, she was in the Midwest at some point. And it was like they would look and find a mayor that they thought would end up becoming a congressman or a senator. And they would send her wherever he's at, working with his campaigns, going to his parties, being seen with him, trying to get to know him.
And you're going to have me all paranoid. I'm going to be a target later looking at this little Chinese girl like, is she a spy?
I know it. And that's what, when it came out.
Are they watching me?
When this story came out and everybody found out about her, that's what was the eye-opener, was how many more of these girls are there?
Oh, man.
And the MSS.
That's scary.
Yeah, the MSS even recently. See, they're right now operating and doing things through the Chinese government.
Do we have something that they've recently been accused of?
Oh, man, they got accused of actually, there's a lot of hacking that happened this year involving COVID-19 and the Wuhan facilities and the vaccines. I mean, it gets deep. It's a rabbit hole, as I call it.
I don't understand hacking. If there's a hacker listening to us, don't hack me, but I'd love to interview you. Just don't come get me.
And if you do hack us, just give us more listens. That's all we want.
And money. And
that's
money.
Right.
And since we're talking about the way that these women are gathering information, I guess we should really begin to talk about her relationships and the relationships that she formed with a lot of these politicians throughout the Midwest and the California area.
That's right.
Now, through campaign and extensive networking and fundraising efforts, she was actually able to link herself both romantically and sexually with at least two Midwestern mayors. One of them later will be said to claim that this was his girlfriend, despite the age difference, that Fang was his woman. So
I've seen pictures, and that guy is Hugh Hefner, as far as age was. He's like 1 foot in the grave.
I would have said he was more like, one of the mummies,
Yeah, it looks like it, yes.
And kind of large, a little rotund. Like,
oh, and she's just this beautiful 29, 30, 31, whatever she is, your old lady,
guys,
girl.
I'm telling you, she had to love her country. Absolutely had to love her country. Now, even though U.S. officials really don't think that Fang got a hold of real classified information, it was a big deal because she got around, and she got around to some fairly high-up people within the network.
Oh, and did it quickly, too. That was the thing. This is a short time period.
Yeah, just a few years. She gathered a lot. She moved around. She was in different people's beds. She was in a ton of parties and events. Now, she had, there's private but unclassified information about government officials, like their habits, things that they preferred, their schedules, how they were on social media. The Chinese appears to be doing a really good job of finding politicians early on in their political career, cultivating relationships, and then using that established relationship later on. And that's where we have to talk about one of the main relationships that she was with, one of the main people, and that's going to be Representative Swalwell.
Oh, he's a Democrat out of California. So Fang took part in fundraising activity for Swalwell's 2014 reelection campaign. And every time we looked into it, it was proven that he was there. But now this is something that a lot of foreign intelligence agencies would do. They would put girls or guys in these campaigns and put them around where they can overhear what's being said. But what was different with her was her approach and how she took it. I mean, this girl got really involved with these men. And the Federal Election Commission records don't even indicate Fang herself made donations or anything like that, which would have been smart because then it would have been some kind of corruption deal. And on their way, it was literally her being a puppet and being told what to do and where to go.
Yeah, well, it would have been too obvious if she was trying to donate money on behalf of China for these campaigns. No, she had to get in there and sweet talk them, whisper in their ear, and influence it in many other different ways.
Yeah, and one of the really, really terrifying things that she did when it come to the Swalwell's political campaign, she actually had a intern placed in his office.
No, a little puppet underneath her?
Literally, she ended up hiring out, like had somebody underneath her working in the office next to him.
So I guess she wasn't even like the lowest level spy. She had spies underneath her gathering information.
That's right. And whether they even, and the thing is, these interns may not even had an idea of what they were doing. She could have put them there just to see what they heard and ask them, what happened at work today? I mean, you never know.
I guess so. I guess she could have found the right people to do it.
Right. I mean, that's the purge I would have taken.
Yeah. A statement from Swalwell's office provided to Axia, who did most of the report, says that Rep. Swalwell long ago provided information about her, whom he met more than 8 years ago and hasn't seen in nearly 6 years. And that's what he said to the FBI.
So that was when they started the recent investigation.
Yeah, and he said, to protect information that might be classified, Swalwell will not participate in your story. They just don't want to incriminate the dude. Yeah,
So the journalist that actually did this story reached out to 22 different current and former elected officials, political operatives, and former students that personally knew Fang.
Man,
when she was living here in the States.
Man, Axios did a great job of putting this together.
They really did. And but this is where this story gets, where I got into it, where you see her at a party, you think you know her and you hang out with her, but the truth is you couldn't even tell, you probably didn't even know where she's from, what her family life is like.
Yeah, I mean, they knew that she was attending regional conferences with U.S. mayors, which allowed her to grow her network of politicians across the country. She was literally able to go into these parties, you know, rub elbows and just meet and greet. And this is all over her Facebook. She's got pictures. She's got tagged. They're smiling. Their arms are around her. I mean, she's with them.
Yeah, she would basically recruit people that had no clue what they were getting into and placing them with other people. It wasn't just Swally's office. It was all over the place.
Man, I wonder how many places she actually had her people into, like whose offices, you know, what other places around, what tech companies. You know, there was a lot more than just politics going on, a lot more secrets being stolen than just political secrets.
Yeah, and she even got caught at one time by the FBI on surveillance having sex with a mayor.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
Oh, man, but they won't release the name of the mayor, will they?
Will they release the videotape is what I want.
Yeah, bounchicka wow wow. Where are we going next, man?
So what was kind of even crazy about this thing, she would reach out to people, have her name added on flyers and on all their stuff, and never even be at the campaign.
Why do you think she did that?
And at the fundraisers. Purely just to get her name out there. You got to think, when you start Googling somebody, or you're on Facebook, and you see a flyer, and you got somebody's name on the bottom, you're like, oh, man, she must be really, you know, popular. People really know her, and it automatically makes her like a superstar.
Oh, yeah, and it's like it's not out of the ordinary that she was at this political event, and she would want to go to this political event.
Right, but so she basically can be there without even being there just for popularity. And I've actually done this in my own career. And I had my name. I would do stuff for free for big events. If their marketing department had to put my name on every flyer and mention it on every radio ad, every TV ad, my mom would watch the morning news and my name would pop up. Man, and she thought it was the coolest thing ever. And the whole time I'm doing crap for free the whole time, you know, during it.
Oh, wow, man, I'm having fun. I'm having so much fun that I've got to take a moment out and tell you about our newest sponsor. That's right, Turtle's Taxi Service, where Turtle, he'll get you there eventually.
Slowly.
But surely.
Turtle will get you there.
Just don't get in the rabbit's car. Get with Turtle. He's paying us to tell you to get in with Turtle.
Oh, man, I don't know where you find this stuff at.
They're everywhere.
So Fang's making her rounds, and she's doing her thing, and she's collecting it, collecting, you know, intelligence.
And that's when U.S. officials first begin to notice her. Now, they found her because they were actually surveilling another member who was working undercover as a diplomat in the San Francisco consulate. And Fang kept meeting with this particular person, so that's what's like, well, I guess we should look into Fang. And then they dove down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
That's right. Now, it's something to remember, though. The consulate, they actually, what they do is they want to make sure that the Asian Americans have a representation with the, you know, in politics. So, the, you know, don't, there's not a giant conspiracy theory with them. It literally was just coincidence that just one or two people were placed there.
Yeah. Now, the official that was spoke to added that both Fang and the suspected officers of the consulate were focused on gathering political intelligence and conducting influence operations in the Bay Area. So that should let you know why they were at these events, why they were trying to get into these offices, provide the interns, was to get the intelligence and to influence in whatever way they possibly could.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, in the pictures, whenever she was there, I mean, this girl would wear ball gowns.
Yeah, she would dress up to the nines, man.
Oh, dude, tens.
Hair, nails, makeup, everything. Oh. Now, Axios corroborated this through the U.S. State Department and other records that a Chinese diplomat with the same name as this suspected MSS officer was stationed in San Francisco while Fang was there. So they're putting two and two together. Right. They've got a suspect. They've got names. They've got people within the consulate. They're not dumb.
No, they're figuring it out. They're putting the puzzle together.
But they do believe that Fang's main intelligence handlers weren't even in the United States, that they were still based in China.
That's right. But you got to think, she's been placing people in certain areas just to help her out here in the States. So, I mean, and these people, most of them had no clue that they were spying for the Chinese government.
Uh-huh. And at this time, Fang was put under FBI surveillance. Now, this was corroborated by four current and former U.S. intelligence officials. The FBI's San Francisco division led a counterintelligence investigation into Fang's activities, and that's also according to the anonymous intelligence official that Axios interviewed.
Ooh.
Yeah, the fact that she was traveling around the country, getting so close to many U.S. politicians, was a big red flag, said one of the officials. That's when they really noticed that she was on a mission. What happened next was senior intelligence officials provided multiple defense briefings around about 2015 to warn many targeted local officials about what Fang was doing and her connections to Chinese intelligence agencies.
And, you know, I know a lot of local politicians and stuff, and these are normal guys.
Yeah.
I mean, even the career guys have been doing it their entire life, bred into it. They're normal people. So when we go to events and all, you would never expect this level of stuff.
Yeah. Now, Bill Harrison, the mayor of Fremont, California at the time, said that he knew Fang because she volunteered in his office and that she participated in a number of local political gatherings. Harrison told Axios that in August of 2015, he was contacted by the FBI, who warned him what Fang was up to.
Oh, and he dropped her like a hot potato.
Actually, I believe she had already left by the time the FBI had contacted him. I just don't want to get too far ahead of you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Bureau officials said Fang's activities were part of a long game play. It wasn't checkers. This was chess. Now, she was targeting local politicians in hopes that they were going to start out small and hopefully build up and become larger within their careers.
Now, the U.S. officials claim that the Chinese intelligence operation, when it come to Fang, come to a complete end sometime in mid-2015. Yeah, Fang was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. at this really big event sometime in mid-2015, but she told all of her friends, I don't want to call them friends, let me change that.
How about acquaintances?
The acquaintances that she had made over the years here in the States, she told them all that she had a all of a sudden rush back to China for something.
Yeah, now let's talk about that real quick. Let's say you were a friend of Fang's and all this comes out. Would you start second-guessing your friendship?
Oh, exactly. Or just second-guessing what's going on in general.
I'd be second-guessing everything, man. So she was supposed to get on a plane, but what happened?
Oh, instead of getting on the plane, she hopped on another plane and hauled her butt right back to China.
So under investigation, she was able to fly out of the country?
Oh, yeah. Snuck right out.
Oh, like, how did that happen?
I don't know. A failure. Imagine that. Our government slipped up and let something slide through.
Oh, man. I wonder how long it was before they realized she was gone. But,
well, you got to think, though, they were just investigating at this point. I mean, there was no charges. I mean, they couldn't hold her for anything. I'm pretty sure they could have pulled her visa.
You can't hold somebody for spying.
Yeah, like I said, they could at least try to get some kind of prostitution charge or something on her.
But they didn't.
Yeah, well, I don't think there was any money getting exchanged. Just, you know, it was just intelligence from the U.S. government.
And she left so suddenly that Harrison recalled that when she left so abruptly, we actually kind of scratched our head. They didn't know what was going on. The FBI was the one to reach out to him after Fang's departure.
Oh, man. Can you imagine that? Your friend disappears and the FBI is like, by the way, she's wanted to, because she's a spy.
Yeah. Gilbert Wong, the former mayor of Cupertino, California, is quoted as saying she disappeared off the face of everything. Just gone.
Well, yeah, but her Facebook page is still active.
Is it really?
Is it private or is it public? Most information's private, but she quit like in mid-2015, just quit making posts and everything.
Yeah. In the months surrounding her departure, rumors began to swirl in the Bay Area that the FBI was investigating her, lots of other politicians, and people within her inner circle.
Oh, so it's not just her. Now they're going after everybody.
Nah. Now, since her trip to China, Fang has not returned to the U.S. And
I would imagine not.
Yeah, they can confirm that. She appears to have largely cut off all contact with anyone based in the United States and any of the networks that she spent building in California.
Yeah, and the Justice Department has not filed any public charges against Fang either.
Man, she was slick then if they knew what she was doing but couldn't pin anything exactly on her.
Oh, that's right. I mean, and all this is pretty public what she did and how she did it.
Man. So the big picture to all this is that some of America's most powerful politicians got their start in Bay Area politics, and China recognizes California's importance there. The MSS has a unit deployed solely to political intelligence and influence operations just in the Bay Area.
Dude, that is terrible. Like I said, the hundreds, if not thousands, of these young girls.
Yeah, between it and Silicon Valley being such a hotbed of the technological industry, it just makes it such a huge target.
I mean, it's Silicon Valley. It's tech. I mean, there's tons of money there. And then where money is, normally politicians fall right behind it.
And I mean, come on. How much of China's economy is based off of knockoffs and cloning tech?
Right. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, that was a big thing for
me. So now we have the spy. I mean, this chick who literally got with every politician, slept with them to do whatever she could to get information for the MSS.
To the point where some politicians was like, this is my girlfriend.
Right.
She's mine.
Do you think that on a tech level, when it comes to development and everything else, that they have spies there too?
Well, think about it. I mean, who helps these tech companies get what they need within the community? The politicians. They help grant the permits. They help get stuff going. And these politicians may be a little loose-lipped with what these tech companies are doing. And then they use the other spies that they know and start turning on them, you know, to more specific ways within the tech community to infiltrate and what products to go after.
This is a rabbit hole. And we will be here for another hour if we start going down it.
Well, guys, that was a real fun story of Christine Fang. Fang, Fang.
So that was the story of the Honey Trap Spa.
Man, that was fun.
Yeah, we actually have another story we've been working on. It's the Shanann Watts story.
Yeah, and Daniel was so intent on telling it and telling it in a certain way that after an hour of recording the other day, he just couldn't do it. It wasn't perfect.
It's hitting, you know, and it's not even just not being perfect. What happened was I wanted to tell this girl's story. I mean, I wanted it from her viewpoint. And every time I tried, though, it got so deep and emotional, man. I ain't going to lie. Like, I started losing my crap.
Yeah, so we were going to put it off on hold for a little bit, give it the dedication that it needs, and we're going to bring it to you guys later. Before we wrap up, I want to let you guys know we have started an Instagram page. We have added more content to our Facebook page. We're going to be leaving our Lit Crew live private Facebook chat group open for anyway for the first few months. And for the 20 some odd people who listened to our first episode, if you guys are still around, send us a message, send us your thoughts, let us know what you think, guys. I'm Josh. Daniel.
That's me.
We're Lost in Thought. Till next time, guys, stay lit.
Merry Christmas.